Restore us, O God. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. Psalm 80, verse 3.
Thank you, Andrew. Andrew, you asked about how long the speech of mine is going to take. It'll be about 19 minutes. We'll see where it goes from there. Mark, is this water for me? Does anyone know who owns it? It's mine now. It's never been opened. I don't care anyway, but... Andrew, thank you for reading that scripture. Hang on to that scripture because that is today's message. There was one Christmas. There was one Christmas season, a school teacher in England supervised the construction of a manger scene in the corner of her classroom. Her pupils, they were delighted to be setting up a model barn and then actually cover the floor with real straw. And then to arrange the clay figures of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men and all the animals. And they were all facing a little crib in which a tiny doll was placed that represented the infant Jesus. And one boy, he simply could not tear himself away from it. He kept returning to it. And each time he stood there completely engrossed and wearing a puzzled expression on his face. The teacher finally asked him, "Is anything bothering you? Do you have a question to ask? What would you like to know?" With his eyes still glued to the manger, the boy said slowly, "What I'd like to know is, where does God fit in?" As we continue our Advent series, The Questions of Christmas, the question today is, where does God fit in? As we approach this Christmas, for which decorations and sales began long before Thanksgiving, we need to keep asking, where does God fit in? In fact, we hear the headlines and we listen to the news. Where does God fit in? As we make our holiday plans, where does God fit in? With the help of the psalmist, let's see if we can't find an answer this morning. The psalmist, he looked at his crumbling world around him, and he prayed in Psalm chapter 80, verse 3, which Andrew read for us just a couple moments ago. "Restore us, O God. Make your face shine on us that we may be saved." He understood, first of all, that God restores his people. Restore us, O God. The immediate context for this psalmist was that Israel has been ravaged by a foreign power. They were once again dispossessed. And so Psalm chapter 80 is a prayer for the restoration of Israel. We find a similar situation in Isaiah chapter 63 and 64. During another time when Israel has been dispossessed, desolate and displaced and despairing. Listen to the similarities in the prayer. First from Psalm chapter 80. Verses 4 and 6, it says, "How long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us an object of derision in our neighbors. And our enemies mock us." And now listen to Isaiah chapter 63, verses 17 and 19. "Why, Lord, do you make us wander from your ways and harden our hearts so we do not revere you? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes that are your inheritance. For a little while your people possessed your holy place, but now our enemies have trampled down your sanctuary. We are yours from old, but you have not ruled over them. They have not been called by your name." God's people, they no longer commanded the respect that they once had. Their faith, it no longer had the appeal that it once had. Following God was no longer as exciting as it once was. They knew that God was still their God, but they also recognized that his gracious activity in their lives was lacking. They just weren't sure where God fit in. But as they examined what had happened in their lives, both the psalmist and Isaiah, came to similar conclusions. The psalmist prayed, restore us. The word means turn us back to you. Isaiah prayed similarly in Isaiah chapter 64. He says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Neither one of these two prayed for the Lord to change their circumstances or to alter their captivity. Rather, they both prayed, Lord, change us. We are at fault. They didn't ask for God to make things better. They asked him to make them better. Their concern was not with their circumstances, but with their character. And so they prayed, Lord, restore our souls. See, that should be our prayer as well. Leslie Brandt has wonderfully paraphrased Psalm chapter 80. Listen to these words. We have prayed, O God. We have sung your praises. We have proclaimed your love to the world. But today our power is slipping away. Our prestige is wearing thin. People seem to have little respect for us anymore. Those who have been brought up within your structures and have embraced our doctrines are leaving the fold. They say we are no longer meeting their needs and the needs of the world. Great shrines were built in your honor. Lord, magnificent institutions were established to carry out your purposes. People dedicated their many skills to perpetuate your teachings. Multitude gathered to declare your praises. Today we are in trouble, Lord. The walls are crumbling. Our sanctuaries no longer attract the masses. People's skills are dedicated to other purposes. We no longer are making much of an impression on this world of ours. Think about it. 1 year ago, we were celebrating the Advent season and the birth of Jesus Christ. We said that Christ would make a difference in our world. But did he? There are more walls between people and nations. There is more fear and tension all around us. Our leaders and citizens, they cannot even reason together in a civil manner. What difference has Jesus made? Where does God fit in? Think about it in your own life for a moment. Just personalize it. Did what you envisioned for this past year happen? Were your anticipations and your expectations met? Did you only experience events that you had planned for? Or were there some things that had happened that you hadn't planned? Have you experienced the healing or maybe the reconciliations for which you've prayed? Who or what is controlling your life? Where does God fit in? It's so easy to pray for God to bring back the old culture, the good old days that allowed us to truly and freely celebrate Christmas. But perhaps we too need to change. Perhaps we too need to somehow lay a hold of God. Perhaps we too need to pray, restore us. Restore me, O God. Turn me back to you. You see, God is in the restoration business. Perhaps this Advent season, which we are in the middle of, is a time to be restored, back once again to daily, moment by moment, walking in the presence of Jesus. Perhaps now is the time to start saying again, if what I'm about to do or about to say does not allow me or help me to worship God, then I'm not going to do it. Let's not ask God to make things better. Let's ask him to make us better. Let's not be as concerned with our circumstances, which we don't really have a lot of control over, and maybe more with our character. Let's pray, Lord, restore our souls. The psalmist also knew that God radiates to his people. And so his prayer continued, and he said, make your face shine upon us. Now, you've heard it often as a benediction from the pulpit. It comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. See, for God to shine his face on someone was to bless the person. The benediction, it was a guarantee of blessing. In radiating to us, by shining on us, God blesses us. Isaiah used a similar phrase in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 1, and I like this one. Oh, that you would burst from the heavens and come down. See, both men, they saw a need for a fresh encounter, a new experience with God. They wanted to feel his blessings and his love in a new and revitalizing way. God is in the radiation business. Make your face to shine upon us. Oh, that you would burst from the heavens and come down. And those words, they made a beeline straight to Bethlehem. God shined his face and he came down. And Bethlehem, it shot an arrow straight to Calvary, where God shined his face and he came down. And Calvary shot an arrow straight to the disciples who lived in the faith that God would shine his face down and come yet once again. See, God has always come seeking his people. God repeatedly says, ready or not, here I come. When Jesus was born, people did not find God. God came and found them. Ready or not, he comes. He radiated to them, and the important thing, the important meaning for us is that no matter where you are, no matter where you try to hide, he shines. He comes. Master preacher Fred Craddock said, Advent, after all, has to do with the comings of the Lord Jesus. The birth being just one form of the appearance of Christ. Jesus, he will be present wherever we are. He's always coming down. So always be ready to shine. Always look for his presence and be ready. There are two men, and they were walking, and one of them was an atheist. Mike, you're going to love this one. The atheist said, there's no such thing as God. And the other man responded, why do you say that? And the atheist said, I asked his help once when I was stuck in the middle of the desert. I was dying in the glaring sun, and I cried out for God's help. Well, the other man was puzzled, and so he asked him, well, something must have happened. You're here now, aren't you? Well, not really, said the atheist. God didn't help me. Some crazy Indian guy came along, and he saved me. You see, ready or not, God comes. Sometimes in forms and in ways that we don't really see. So we should always be ready. Be aware. Be on the lookout. Let's not miss God when he passes by. He is here. He has burst the heavens and come down. Oh, Lord, turn us back to you. So we can see your shining face radiating to us. The reason for uttering such a prayer is that God rescues his people. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. God is in the rescue business. When God turns us back so that we can see his radiance, we experience deliverance. We are delivered from the deadly, destructive patterns and influences. Jesus frees us, enables us, and equips us to live an enriched, more godly life. The Apostle Paul, he wrote to the Corinthian church, and he says, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, that's the difference that Jesus Christ makes. God fits in by, in Jesus, enriching us to live the way that we were created to live. Jesus revitalizes us. Jesus frees us from our calendars and from our schedules. He allows us to be interrupted and surprised by his appearings and his direction. To live with the freedom to respond to this spontaneous movement of the Spirit. And the good news is that this spontaneous presence of God, it happens more than we realize if we would stop and pay attention. And that's why we experience the direction in our lives. Yes, we live with the threat of war, and we're chilled by the horrors of rape and brutality that are taking place all around us. We're frustrated and we're overwhelmed by inflation and taxes. We recoil at the incivility around us, and people just don't know how to behave. But we have hope. We have confidence. We know that somehow God fits into the picture. Even now, he is revitalizing us and our world. We're pregnant. We're full with this expectation, for God has come. He comes all the time. And he will come again. He will prevail. And so we live with this expectation of Jesus is coming. And what do you do when you know that a guest is going to come to your house? You get ready. You clean it up. You make sure that's ready. And if you don't know exactly what time that guest, that important guest, is going to show up, you make sure that your house is always in a state of readiness, however that may look like. So always be ready for Jesus to come into your life. Faithfully do the work that is hand, where you are and with what you have. Let his light radiate through you on the job, at school, at work, at home, in the things that you're doing. Our readiness to meet Jesus in our daily lives will determine if we are ready to meet him in our death. So where does God fit in? The better question is, where doesn't he fit in? To prepare for your last day, live as if today is your last day. There were a group of children, and they were putting on a Christmas play. And to show the radiance of Jesus, an electric light bulb was placed down in the bottom of the manger. And all the stage lights were to be turned off so that only that manger light could be seen radiating. But the boy who controlled the lights, he got a little confused. And all of a sudden, all of the lights went off. It was total darkness. And there was a tense moment. And it was quiet. Only to be broken when one of the shepherds yelled out, "Hey, you switched off Jesus." Advent. It is a time to remind us where God fits in. He fits in Jesus. He fits in our hearts. Please don't switch him off. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us so we may be saved.